Hey, everybody, you've probably heard me talk about skepticism before and how I really actually prefer a skeptic. I'm a skeptic myself. Skepticism means to need reason, to need reason. And working in energy healing and in healthcare, it's so important to have a need for some kind of a reasonable connection, like we understand maybe the science behind what it means to bring peace and calm. Scientists now and doctors talk about the importance of cortisol and why stress relief, which comes from a meditative energy healing session, will always bring more health to the body. So there's just one little bit of reason that will back up the skepticism of, I need reason for how the world works. I need reason for how I'm sitting here right now in your office and I am here. What are we doing? And then my lifelong search is to figure out how to be reasonable. There's a great expression, which is to say things in ways that the person in front of you can understand, be reasonable. Now, I also speak about how skepticism and cynicism gets mixed up. Cynicism is actually quite dangerous to the healing body. Cynicism reflects the idea that we are actually do not believe in the goodness of other humans. Cynicism, I'll say it again, we do not believe in the goodness of humans, not even other humans. We do not believe in the goodness of humans. That is the projection of cynicism into the world. And it's very popular and it's very common. And it actually shines quite brightly in the world of being intellectual. We have to behave as if doing well and doing good doesn't matter. I've faced cynicism around an organization that I support in Nairobi. It's a dance program for children. And it supports kids for after school. It keeps them safe. But also, if you can learn a skill such as dance, then you qualify for education. So education isn't automatic in this particular section of Nairobi. And so dancing is a gateway to education. I'm more than happy to support that. And when I speak about it to my family or some friends, there's been like, what are you, have you met these people? Like, I live in 2024. I don't need to meet people. I'm getting constant videos and communication and talking. I have not flown over there. But the cynicism is, be careful because you might be tricked by these people from another place. Right. And, that actually says more to me about the person who's being cynical than about any other questions I might be gathering in my head as I start to become cynical because somebody is suggesting that I should be more cynical. Are you feeling any good energy off of that? Because I'm not. But I am very skeptical. So of course I need reason. And then I'm confident because I get reason through skepticism. Okay. Enough said about that, because today on the Good Energy Healing Show, I'm Hillary Crowley, and we're going to talk about unreasonable hope. So I'm going to actually put a little bit of a damper on skepticism as well as cynicism. Going back to cynicism for one more moment, though, is if you look it up, I was quoting the definition. It means not believing in the goodness of humans. And as long as you're a human, I mean, I've got other non-humans in the room right here listening to me. I've got a dog and two cats, but they have no idea what I'm talking about. Two are looking out the window and one is crawled up in a ball. And so they're not really engaging in my language. So if you're engaging in my language right now, you're human, okay? And if you don't believe in the goodness of humans, guess who you also don't believe in the goodness of? Yourself. So really, really, really check cynicism at the door, because it's toxic, literally toxic, because it's going to churn out chemicals of stress in your body all day long. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you release the cynicism that might have seemed like it was reason. It might have seemed like it was just skepticism. It might have seemed like it was a family value. It might have seemed like it was a academic-wise choice. It might have seemed like good economics, whatever you want to do. We want to release that. And I think I didn't even realize, but I think that's the biggest healing today is if you can find in the corners, the dusty corners of your mind, any cynicism, let it go. Because cynicism doesn't believe in the goodness, and goodness is healing. Goodness is the bringing together of yourself, your soul, your mind, your body, so that you can thrive. That's it. Cynicism is the seduction of, I would say, things that will keep you from making good decisions in your life. Because really, isn't that what life is all about, making good decisions? Have I told the story before about my student, George? If I have, it has been years ago, and I'll tell it again. Way back when, oh, I wish I didn't have to say way back when, because I love teaching the kids theater so much. It's the best therapy. The word theater and therapy are very similar for a reason. I learned so much from these kids. And this particular day, I was teaching a pretty routine warm-up exercise. It's a mental spiritual warm-up exercise to evoke confidence, because I would teach about concentration and creativity and confidence. So to be confident, I asked the children to say one thing that they love about themselves. And the first child said, I love the way I play soccer. And I said, that's something that you love to do, but what do you love about yourself? And the child came back, says, I really love the way I play soccer. And it was just like, okay, we're going to stick with soccer. The next child said soccer again. The next child said swimming. And they talked about what they did. And to be fair, I just need to tell you that when I'm in this circle, I participate in it. And it is very hard for me to say one thing I love about myself when I'm in the teacher model, but also just the adult brain. It's really hard. So take a moment while you're listening to this and maybe jot down one thing you love about yourself, not about what you do, but something about yourself. And George here is about to help you, because beautiful George was about the fifth kid to go. And we were just getting through the exercise, and I'd given up on saying one thing you love about yourself. And George said, what I love about myself is that I make good decisions. I make good choices. And funny of the in the moment, there was, I will never forget it, because George had, his parents were watching that day. There was always a little bench. The parents could sit there in the chairs and the bench and watch if they wanted. Oftentimes they would drop the kids off. But these two parents, maybe they were like, I don't know. I think they'd driven a bit of a distance for class, and they figured they would just hang out and watch the class. It made absolutely no difference to me whether the parents were there or not. But at this moment, it was really great because the parents were there. And as the circle was, George had his back to his parents. He wasn't facing his parents. He was facing me. And he said, what I love about myself is I make good decisions. Oh, my goodness. And here I am talking about it like easily 20 years later. And I'm just like, I love that about you too, George. And I love that you just gave me one of the finest elements of what it means to be human in this life and to make good decisions. And so when you practice unreasonable hope, you're going to make better decisions than if you practice cynicism. Unreasonable hope, everybody. That is the theme for today. So moving forward, I wanted to talk about this idea of what it means to hope, and how hope is like holding the door open, you know, having the door held open for you. I was with my niece over a year ago, visiting her at college, and I asked her about what she thinks I should be doing. My book had just come out, and one of the things for all of you authors or authors in process right now, one of the things that happens, as you know, is you release a book and suddenly your job description changes. Because my job description was to write, to go to work, see clients, to teach, some things that I'd learned and to go back and write some more and see some more clients. It was a very satisfying life as well as being a mom. And suddenly my job is about getting out to a wider and wider audience and being my own like marketing firm. That is the case for whether you're a billionaire as an author or you're a first-time author like myself who is working the trade, meaning I write about what I do. So I can't just stop and write, only write. I actually work. So I had to add this extra thing. So of course I was able to speak to the fresh and bright mind of my niece and ask her for some advice. And she said, Hillary, when you're posting things about your book, people just want to know about what you know. So share your facts and tips. People just want to know what you know. And also everybody wants to know, by the way, no big deal, about manifesting. And I was like, manifesting? And she said, yeah, just anything you know about manifesting. My generation loves anything about manifesting. So her generation is in their early 20s right now. And I do see a lot out there about manifesting. And speaking for my niece, oh my goodness, she's manifesting a beautiful life for herself. So I have something to learn from her, I would say. Moving forward, though, I want to talk about that conversation I had with her a little bit more deeply right now today with all of you, because manifesting has always been a little bit tricky for me working in the healing arts. Goes back to a story I have with a client who I was speaking about manifesting, and I said, we all know, I said in very, we were in session, and I said very sort of calmly and casually, it's well known that manifesting means to bring into vision. It's about sight. It's about the eyes. It's about maybe the eyes of the heart. And my client said, no, manifesting is about the hands. Mani, manis, is from the hands. So it's all about the hands. I was like, it's all about the hands. I thought it was about a vision, about visioning. And he said, no, it's about the hands. It's about the work. And so we had this very healthy argument, and we came to the conclusion that it is about the hands. It's about doing the work. But as I was preparing for this episode, I realized I wanted to take a deeper dive, and I went back to my reference, which is manifesting means to envision and see a vision ahead of you. When you manifest something, it means you see it. It also does mean of the hands, created by the hands. Actually, it means grabbed by the hands. So as we talk about manifesting as this growing movement of how do we bring something that is not apparent to us into reality? How do I make a plan and a goal for myself and then bring it into reality? We are learning that this is how the great thinkers have always worked. This is how leaders always work. It might have just been intuitive for them. There might not have even been the word manifest around it. But as manifest is becoming more and more popular in our language, we want to learn how to manifest. So I'm realizing that both is correct. It is the visualizing of from the eyes or the eyes of the heart, visualizing how you want things to go. And then doing with your body, the hands, the physical body, the work to make it happen, grab it. That is to manifest in the truest sense of the meaning. But the bigger part I want to add, and I've already mentioned it, but I want to say it again. You have the eyes, you have the hands doing the work, the eyes visualizing. So really, you have the third eye, because it's the third eye that's visualizing what truly matters, being intuitive and pulling in that energy of what you want. And I want to add the heart, because the heart is where the body and the vision, the third eye, all of it come together. Okay. So as we're working today in this beautiful session about unreasonable hope, let's see where the heart comes to move us through to get to where we want to go in this world, whether it's on a large scale or small scale. I know I'm getting ready to teach a class. My story is that today is the day after my class would have wrapped up at Kripalu, but my class was canceled due to a flood. Who would have thought? A flood shut down the beautiful center, the yoga and healing center of Kripalu in the Berkshires for like 3 months. It shut it down. And it was a pipe. The pipes, from what I understand, the sprinkler system broke and flooded the building. And it took 3 months to renovate it. I believe it's reopening this weekend, late March. Good news is I already had another booking for May 10th, and I'm going to be teaching out in Kripalu on May 10th. And as I'm kind of pouring into that, and I know I said I just promoted myself, but I know you out there like to know what I'm doing when I'm doing an in-person event. We're going to be on Mother's Day. But as I'm preparing for that, it's really important for me to visualize not only what I'm going to teach, being prepared with my hands and so forth, but also visualize with my heart and with my eyes and with my third eye what it's going to feel like and who's going to be in the room and how warm and alert and inspiring the room is going to be. That happens long before May 10th as we start calling in the energy. There will be lots of work to do with my hands, lots of preparation, and frankly, lots of sharing and marketing and all that good stuff too. But more importantly, in my heart, I'm already there teaching. We're going to be teaching a class about mother legacy. And for all my listeners out there, I'm going to give you the insider's tip. Is the idea is that we find the mother inside of ourself. So it doesn't matter what stage of relationship you're in with your mother. In my case, my mother has died, right? So I'm in that stage with her. Or if you're just becoming a mother, or you're whatever, there's so many versions of mother. It's if you heard that sort of pregnant pause, no pun intended, I just took. I was like, okay, that could go on and on and on. If I think about all my different relationships with mother, my son, one of my sons is adopted, and it was the funniest conversation I had with him yesterday because I was talking about his mom because he wants to go visit his mom. I want him to visit his mom. I want to go with him. He wants to go on his own. It's just a fabulous conversation. So he's saying mom about mom. That's okay. People do that all the time. Lots of people have the same name, and I have the same name as his mom because I'm mom. And so that's where I was like, we all have different relationships with our mother. But what I want to do is start creating in myself this unreasonable hope that everything is going to turn out well and that it's going to turn out well for my son. It's going to turn out well for my class. And it's going to turn out well for Kripalu, that their facility is going to be up and running and right on time. And that everything worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. There's your unreasonable hope, which turns out to be pretty much the way the world works. When all is said and done, even in the hardest times, you will hear the healthy, wholehearted people talk about how this is how it had to be. It worked out well. Everything was okay. Even with the biggest losses, we're able to hold on to the hope and understanding of, well, what would have seemed unreasonable. And then it became what is. Unreasonable hope is very timely right now, too, because here in New England, it's springtime. And if somebody was, say, traveling from another side of the world and they looked out the window right now, they would say there's absolutely no way in a few weeks there's going to be flowers all around. Yeah, but we know better. And the flowers are right underneath the snow that just fell. Also for the skiers, it would have been totally unreasonable to think that they were going to have one of the best ski weekends in late March. Although I think that's also cynicism. That I don't even know if it's cynicism, skepticism. That's something else. I'm putting that out to you as the listeners. What is it when We know darn well in New England that it snows in late March all the time. And yet everyone put their snowblowers away because everyone's like, oh, that's the end. Spring is here. It's mud season. That's the end of the snow. There's no more snow in the mountains. And then 2 feet fell of snow. And it's, you know, late, mid-March. And that happens frequently. But the word on the street this weekend was, oh, we can't believe it snowed. 30 years ago, when I used to drive back and forth to Syracuse from Massachusetts, Syracuse, New York to Massachusetts, I remember being caught in one of the worst snowstorms I've ever been caught in. That was before, you know, we had apps where we could check the weather. So you just get in the car and you just figure you'll pull over if the driving is bad. I'm laughing, not laughing, because hopefully most of you remember that you just used to, we would drive, we would tune into a radio station and sort of know the weather. But especially if you live up north here, you could hit snow at any given time if you're on the road long enough driving through the north, which would be Massachusetts to Syracuse, New York. And was I driving home? I feel like it had to do with coming home for Easter, which was beautiful. I love Easter. And yeah, I drove home through a snowstorm, and I remember it was April 1st. And so we called it the April Fool's snowstorm. There you have it. So we're still a week or so away from April 1st, and we had a nice big snowstorm, and I've seen many a snowstorm. But everyone thought, you know, there's no reason to hope. There's no more skiing left. And it was actually reasonable hope to think that maybe there could be more skiing left. But I do think we like to be prepared. We don't like to be disappointed. These are all the kind of like the lower vibrations. We don't like to be disappointed. We lower our expectations and we get ready for the next thing. That is great. That's called prepared and planning. But always keep that bit of unreasonable hope for what you want available. It'll be very, very good for your health and your healing. I want you to think about this idea of hope as a door opener. So, and I don't want it to be like a door person or a doorman, the traditional term. I want it to be the person who you've never met before and you'll never meet again, but in that one moment, they hold the door open for you. I have to say, when I was pregnant, what an amazing experience that is, because it brings out almost like an automatic response of kindness in people, especially when you're last couple of months of pregnant. And with me, I did not hide my pregnancy. I looked very pregnant. The pregnancy didn't hide me, I should say. And I just remember that even if I didn't need the door held open, people would circle back and open the door for me. And it was a beautiful act of kindness. And it's a funny thing that you experience when you go through different stages of life. So I say that because I want you to think about a friend, a friendly spirit guide who is named Hope. And I want you to think about this friendly spirit guide named Hope that is keeping doors open for you, holding doors open. So this spirit guide is all powerful and can easily open 5 or 6 doors in a hallway for you. It's a really important way to manifest, to see the doors open for you and to imagine that they're being held open with love and with kindness of a guardian angel. I can feel that coming in as a good energy healing show. And watch how cynicism just melts away because you're looking down through the doorway of what you want, what you really, really want. You know, I like to talk about Brené Brown. It's been a little while, but Brené Brown talks about faith. And she talks about how faith is behaving as if you do not need to be behaving as if you know that everything's going to be okay, but you are uncertain. She says the shadow work of faith is that people like to be certain. And then when they have certainty, then they can have faith in something. And she says, oh no, slow your roll. Actually, faith is behaving in the atmosphere of uncertainty. And when you're uncertain, that is when faith is called up and called in. So I would say the same about hope. Hope is desirous of reason. Like when we have a hope for something, we really want to have reason to hope. You know that expression, right? It's a well-known expression, having reason to hope. Yeah? Well, I'm going to change that expression for you today. You do not need a reason to hope. Hope unreasonably. Be unreasonable with your hope. Go beyond being skeptical and certainly beyond being cynical, and allow the doors to open for you. And that is the action. And hope is an action. That is the action of hope. I love the idea of having my client and I argue a little bit. I think that when you're not feeling skeptical or cynical, you welcome in healthy, really healthy disagreements. In fact, I kind of am using the word argue heavily with a little bit of jest, because there's always so much fun and playfulness in my sessions. Once or twice or three times a year, I'm reminded that my sessions are really funny, that I'm funny. I don't mean to be funny. I don't mean to have a sense of humor about it at all. But whenever there's like a little disagreement, it's really funny. It's awesome. It makes for great conversations. So here I was talking about manifesting in a very lighthearted way of manifesting means to see what you want and walk towards your vision. And then he said, no, it actually means to work with your hands. And I was like, really? Because I thought it was to see what you want. He's like, no, it's working with your hands, manifest. Okay, work with your hands. And then we came to the conclusion that it was the same. And now I really want to bring in this idea of hope, unreasonable hope. But having this unreasonable hope guide in your life, call it whatever you want. More importantly, feel it and sense it however you want. And having this unreasonable hope opening doors for you to walk through. What do those doors feel like? Does it feel like a curtain being pulled back? Does it feel like a big, heavy door? Does it feel like a barn door being slid open? Really visualize how you want to feel that door being open. It could be the opening of the sky, right? So that it allows for the clouds for the sun to shine through. It also might be the opening of the rain to let the rain pour down. But I believe that hope and unreasonable hope is the spirit and the energy that can bring the goodness and clear out all of the little shadowy spots that you could not otherwise see. I'm going to do a little energy healing as I'm speaking to you right now, taking a nice deep breath in, a little nice deep breath out, and just feeling the release of any corners or nooks. Yesterday I was dusting and I realized that I had missed a ledge that was above my sight, right? It's a whole arm's reach above. And I don't know the last time I had dusted there. And I was so happy. It was so satisfying to get that dust that had settled in that corner, even though I could not see it. It felt so good to get that out. So that's the energy of what we're doing. Unreasonable hope is clearing and vacuuming and dusting away any residue of cynicism so that you can believe in the goodness of yourself. And in turn, see, feel, and believe in the goodness of all. And if you want to go a little deeper, take a moment and focus on somebody who you'd consider an adversary. And go see the goodness in them. It's good work you're doing. It's good work we're doing. I'm Hillary Crowley. This is the Good Energy Healing Show. And this is a short and sweet episode. Not too short though, about the tips and facts around hope in the importance of being unreasonable with your hope, uncertain with your faith, and behaving as if the door is being held wide open for you by hope itself. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Please have a beautiful day ahead of you, a beautiful night's sleep ahead of you, healing and powerful shifting as you are welcoming in and releasing the term, I have reason to hope. And I want you to change it to, I am practicing unreasonable hope. And I hope you see lots of joy and peace and transformation return to your life. I'm Hillary Crowley. This is the Good Energy Healing Show. Please subscribe, share with your friends, hit the 5 stars, whatever you need to do. I'm still going. We are loving this podcast, and I hope you are too.